You're listening to the PMO Strategies Podcast, where PMO leaders become impact drivers. This is episode 252. Hey there, Impact Driver. Welcome to the PMO Strategies Podcast. I am your host, Laura Bernard. Before we dive in, I just want to let you know that we have something very special coming up. I want to remind you that the second Tuesday in May is International PMO Day, and it is right around the corner. This year, it'll be on Tuesday, May 14th, 2024, and we are going to be celebrating big. This is an opportunity for all PMO and project management professionals to celebrate the power of the PMO to make a huge impact in every organization. PMOs are often the unsung heroes of successful project, program, portfolio, and yes, even product management. They help align projects with business goals, optimize resources, and accelerate the impact any organization can make. So how can you get involved in International PMO Day? Well, there are plenty of ways. If you are a PMO professional, take some time to reflect on your achievements and the impact that you've made so far this year and over the last year. If you lead a PMO team, now's the time to think about organizing some fun activities to boost morale and celebrate your collective successes and get the word out about all the great work you're doing. Now, May 14th is a very, very special day for us here at PMO Strategies, and I'm not going to give it all away, but let's just say we are going to be celebrating really, really big. So if you want to join us for International PMO Day, just go to pmostrategies.com/PMO Day. That's pmostrategies.com/PMO Day to get a little bit of a sneak peek of what we'll be celebrating on International PMO Day. And join us for free for that celebration. Join us on Zoom, set up in a conference room, bring cake, of course, and celebrate with us on International PMO Day, May 14th. I hope to see you there. PMO leaders strive to have a voice in executive-level decisions. However, earning a seat at the leadership table can be an uphill battle. In this episode, we're going to share some insider strategies to amplify your influence as a PMO leader and help you get that coveted seat at the table. Before we dive in, did you know International PMO Day is right around the corner? We hear all the time PMO leaders struggling to be heard and have an influence in their organizations. And sometimes it's difficult to be in a position where you can have that voice truly heard, but you've got to have trust and influence with your executives in order for them to even let you into those conversations. With me today to talk about this topic and give you some insider tips on how to get that seat at the table is Bill Dow. Bill is a recognized expert in project management by the Project Management Institute for specifically developing and managing PMOs. His extensive experience with project management PMOs has enabled him to co-author, and I can't believe how many, several comprehensive books you can find on Amazon.com. Bill and I were just talking about how it took me forever to write one book, and he's just a book writing machine, so I am envious. Bill has taught at the college level for over 20 years in Washington State, British Columbia, and Ontario, Canada, and has built and run 10 PMOs across 4 different companies. He worked at Microsoft for more than 13 years and is now the PMO director at University of Washington Medical. Too modest to say that I'm going to toot his horn for him, is that he also won the World PMO Influencer of the Year in 2023. So he currently wears that crown until he passes it off to the next person in line later this year. So Bill, I just wanted to say huge congratulations for that incredible honor. You know, I won it back in 2021 and was totally surprised and still proudly hold on to that title as well, because I think it's so important, the work we're doing to help influence the role that PMOs are playing in organizations and the impact they can have around the world. So welcome. And
yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you for mentioning that. Yes, I really appreciate it. Like you said, it's so nice to be honored across the industry and be just recognized for all the hard work, all the webinars and ebooks and books and all the stuff you put out there to really help grow this world and grow this PMO space that we're in. And so very, very proud of it. And I really appreciate it. So thank you. And thanks for having me today, too. I'm really excited.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we are right around the corner from your birthday and
yes.
International PMO Day, which happened to be on the same day. So that's quite fitting.
That is
funny. Celebrating International PMO Day and the World PMO Influencer of the Year all at once. So I'm looking forward to seeing your celebration cake on that day.
Ah, to turn 30 again, eh? When
Yeah. That's what my husband says. He just had his birthday at the time we're recording this, and he keeps saying 29 and holding.
There you go. That's funny.
How many years can we say that? We're just going to, you know. And but he also, you know, looks probably almost 29 and says, you're as old as you feel. I'm like, okay.
That's
depends
awesome.
On the day, especially for our audience, because I know the impact drivers that listen to this. Some days they probably feel amazing, and some days they feel very overwhelmed and frustrated and unheard. And that's why you and I do the work we do, along with so many other global PMO influencers, is because we hear you, impact drivers, and we know what you're doing in your organization to drive value. And we want to give you as many tips and tricks and guidance to help you get that seat at the table and really have some big influence. So, Bill, with that, are you ready to dive in?
Yeah, I can't wait. Awesome. Let's do it.
All right. Okay. So I know that our audience listening really wants to know what your top best practices are for PMO leaders to get a seat at the table. And I know we talk about it a lot, but I want to make this very real for people. So where would you like to start?
Yeah, I love that. And I love this question. And I love this topic because, you know, what's really interesting is Pierre Lamont from PMI just put an article out, right? It's a Pulse article on LinkedIn, and it's called C-Suite and Beyond. And I know you played a big role in that, and I know you have an episode on it, which is just a coincidence, really. But why I love this is PMI is recognizing how important this is. And PMI is thinking, how do we help these leaders get a seat at the leadership table? And so I love that. And he talked about communication being critical. And he talked about enhancing your leadership skills. And we're going to take a little bit of a different approach, but it's all going to be in that same theme. And one thing I would love about it is he talked about your best project. You are your best project you can take on. So that continuous learning mindset, that continuous growing. And these are some of the things that you need to get that seat at the table. So I love the connection. And I know you played a great part in that as well, in that article.
When I talked to Pierre last year about coming to speak at the Impact Summit to talk from PMI's perspective about what project management and PMO people can do to cross that chasm to get to an executive level position. I mean, you and I see it so clearly. PMO people can easily have a career path that lands them in a COO role, a chief strategy office role, you know, and maybe even potentially a CEO role at some point. So that's there for them, but they've got to know how to do it. So Pierre came to the summit and talked about that last year, and then we turned that into a podcast episode. So if anyone is interested in this article, we'll be pushing it out on social media. It will be in the show notes along with other resources that Bill's going to provide here. And the episode number is 227. So you can always just go to pmostrategies.com/227 if you want to hear the whole interview. What's really cool about this, Bill, is that I didn't even know that they posted this article months later. Like they keep posting it because I think they're trying to help project people understand that this is super important. So here we are in February. They posted it again. And now we're recording this a little bit later from that. But that's the noise that the industry is trying to make about the importance of elevating the PMO and project people to have influence and impact at the leadership level. So that's what we're talking about today because it's such a big deal. So where would you like to start? What is your first tip here? And
I think when you think about building trust with executive leaders, you have to be a trusted advisor to them. Right. I think that's a key component is they need to look at you as someone they can trust. They need to look at you as someone who's come to your PMO and say, you know, are you going to deliver? Are things delivering? Can we have that conversation, that strategic conversation to say the things that you're doing in your PMO is moving the business forward. Mm-hmm. Right. It's not about doing programs and projects, but it's how do we move the business forward? So my number one thing that you have to do is be that trusted advisor. Build that trusted relationship, right? Knowing yeah. that you will deliver for them and start building that relationship with them.
Can you give an example in all of your years of PMO yeah. experience? You've probably done this a million times. Do you have any examples of where you were able to build trust with somebody new or somebody at the leadership level that didn't know you very well or maybe didn't know or believe in the project
oh, yeah.
PMO? I'm sure you've got
yeah, tons. I have hundreds of those examples. But let me tell you what I do. This is a great little tip, a little side tip, which is for that question. But what I do is I have a walkie deck. I have a marketing package. I have this, what is the PMO? And every new executive across multiple companies, I sit down and I say, what are the components?
Yeah.
And the way I have my service offerings and the way I have my business challenges and all the various things. And I finally go, oh, and at the very end, I say, and we do programs and projects. And they go, oh, because I've done a lot of PMOs before, and this is completely different. And
right.
what you're doing is you're building that trust with them. You're building that, I'm just as important as HR. I'm just as important as finance. Here are all the services that I offer that help move the business forward. So I've done that hundreds of times. It's really worked out well where it really go, oh, okay, this is more than just a PMO I've seen before.
Yeah, that's huge, Bill. And that is so much in alignment with where we are with what we teach and what we've been doing on this podcast for hundreds of episodes
yeah.
and the summit, because you said some really key things there that I think are different from the typical PMO. You said, you know, essentially, we have a communications plan and a document, we call it a business plan, and,
yep.
you know,
sure.
in our program,
yep.
that says, here's the value this organization is providing and why it should be treated like a business unit or department,
yep.
just like every other important department that helps make this engine run.
Yep.
It's a service-based function that is providing services that drive impact, return on investment, real value, real worth it factor. It's not just, oh, you guys come to meetings and, you know, tell us what to do on our projects or, you know, those kinds of things. And there are organizations, I know it's not like that in yours, especially with the communication work you've been doing, but there are organizations where the PMO is seen as an administrative overhead. And
yep.
we have to stop that line of thinking. That's why I wrote the Impact Engine book, was because
yep.
I want to stop that thinking that the PMO is just an administrative function. It's not a cost center. It's a value delivery center, and it creates a return on investment. And it's so cool that you have this deck you walk around with
yep.
to be able to communicate that to
yep.
people. Here's our value proposition. Here's what we do, why it matters, and the impact that has on you. The WIFM for whoever
yeah.
you're talking to. That's awesome.
Yeah, and I've done that across several executive leaders, and it immediately builds this credibility, this trust
yeah.
that they know that you're more than just programs and projects.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And I think that's
sure.
key.
Yeah. So step one, you must become a trusted advisor. So
yeah.
awesome. Okay. So can you also talk about how you use data to drive decision-making? Because I think that's a big gap a lot of PMOs have,
huge
is that
gap.
They're only focusing on time, on scope, on budget, or they're only focusing on, you know, like, just here's the list of projects and, you know, gosh, we're hoping for the best. Like,
yeah.
and then they complain that the executives can't make decisions. But
yeah.
sometimes we may not be giving them the information they need to make those educated, informed decisions quickly. So can you
yeah.
talk about, because I think this is probably still a part of that trust process. How do you?
Yeah. It's 100% part of the trust process. And this is a huge passion for me. I absolutely love this data. So I come from I'm an Oracle DBA. I'm a SQL Server DBA. And so I have that DNA of data in my brain. And so when you think as a PMO leader of all the data that you have surrounding you, right? All the risk data and issue data and budget data and value data and ROI data, right? You have to be data focused.
Yeah.
And so my second tip is to be data driven and to live and breathe the data that's surrounding you from a PMO perspective every day.
Mm.
I take that down to the project managers, and I think they need to be data driven as well. So there's two components of this, the data and the decisions you can make on your projects, and there's the data that's made at the PMO level.
Okay.
So when you, like, I live in the Microsoft space, so I have Project Online, I have Power BI, I have SharePoint, and I just consume all that data. And we literally have points in time during the week where the PMO leaders look at the data, make decisions on the data, and we drive our PMO from a data perspective. So the second tip, really, to get that seat at the leadership table is have the data, know the data, present the data so your executives and leadership can make smart decisions based on that data.
And do so quickly, right? Because that's part of the thing is that sometimes people think that more is better. And so they got like 15, 20 different data points that are getting in the way of actually making decisions quickly when they probably don't need all of that in the moment to make a certain decision.
Right.
You know, us data geeks love it. I got a computer science degree, technical background. I love the data, the analytics. And the reason I love that information so much is that it can help take the emotions, the feelings, and the assumptions out of the process, right? There's the data, if it's used for good instead of evil, it can be used to help make really good decisions quickly and keep the drama out of it, right? Like, I think there's so many times, because there isn't data, PMO leaders are fighting an uphill battle with executives on what feels right, as opposed to what is right and what's the data telling us, not only about where we've been, but where we're headed, right?
Yeah.
So many decisions around which projects to cut would be so much easier to make if you're measuring things like return on investment.
Yep.
And you can have predictors of whether or not that return on investment is likely, right? But if we're not even talking about it, then it's really hard to make those kind of decisions. So I am totally with you.
Yep.
You want to be data-driven. You got to be smart about what data you put in front of executives. You can't give them a 14-page report and then wonder why they're stuck on some data point on page 13 that nobody really needs to make a decision. You got to keep it focused, but let the data do the talking for you. And you pointed out something important. There's so many value bombs in there. I'm trying to make sure that they're not, that people really got them. When you are looking at the kinds of metrics that you're collecting, creating, and reporting on, it's not just the project performance and outcomes. It's what has the PMO done for you lately, right?
Right, right.
You don't have to sell the value of the PMO if the data is saying, look at the return on investment we're driving. Look at the value delivery cadence we have here. Look at what's happening. And that can do all the marketing you need. And you can create a pull instead of a push. And not have to feel like you're selling all the time. So I think this is so great and builds upon that trusted advisor foundation.
Yeah.
Now you have the data to back it up, right?
Yeah, I think that's so important, right? The data is the data. It is what it is. And so you make decisions based on what you're seeing and then course corrections along the way.
For sure. Now, you and I have been talking about another approach that kind of builds on top of this, which is about being proactive and visible to your executive team. Can you share a little bit about what that actually looks like for people?
Yeah, I think there's quite a few components to that question. Is when you think about being proactive, you think about trying to address their needs, trying to understand what they're looking for and presenting information, presenting dashboards, presenting, right? Again, a little bit back to the data, but really working closely with them and understanding what and how do they want that data and how do they want the information that's happening within your organization. So being proactive, having one-on-one meetings with them, attending their staff meetings, just being proactive and getting in front of them and being a trusted partner with them and being a partner in general with them is one way of doing that. And then from a visibility perspective, there's a lot of times when you can take the seat at the table by sitting at the table, right?
Yes.
We see this all the time, right? We see PMO leaders come in and they sit behind, they sit at the side, they sit at the back. Well, I'm not sitting at that table. No, sit at that table until they make you move, right?
Yeah.
Like literally sit at the table and then you actually become, you know, part of the presence compared to being in the back room. So when I talk about being visible, I talk about little things, little steps of actually sitting at a table compared to being behind, or, you know, or dialing into a Zoom call with all your leaders and they have invited you.
Yeah.
Well, I'll just listen and I'll triple task.
Yeah.
No, come in there and sit at the table.
Oh my gosh. You just keep throwing all these little value bombs in there, like mixed in. I just want to make sure that people are really, in case they're multitasking, if you've been multitasking, Impact Driver, come back here because there's so much goodness in this episode. Slow it down to 1.0 speed and like really take some notes here. So what I really want to press upon this one a little bit, because this is a big one. I think that many PMO people feel like they are overwhelmed with stuff and busy, and the busy takes over and prevents them from being productive and outcome driven. And you just hit it right on the nail on the head when you said, oh, I'm just going to, you know, triple task, multitask when I'm trying to listen in on a conversation I was invited to at the leadership table. You get your butt in that room. Do whatever you have to do. If everyone's virtual, fine, but you are camera on, focused, and you are present in the conversation. Not taking notes constantly,
right?
But really being present and absorbing the conversation. You don't want to be seen as a note taker. And I'm not saying you can't take some notes. You can write a few things down, but you are not there as an administrator. You are there as a participant in the discussion. And so being present, sitting at the table, I don't know, you know, some people will recognize the reference, don't put baby in the corner. You get your butt at that table and you be right there front and center in the conversation with the same behaviors and engagement with your leadership team, like you belong there. And if you don't feel like you do, as Michael Port, my professional speaking coach, says, act as if. And it's not really fake it till you make it. It's act as if. And that slight nuance is, even if you're feeling not confident, you don't fake it. You just say, well, let's assume I already have that seat at the table because they invited me into this conversation, or you invited yourself in. Either way, you're sitting at that table. You belong there. If you don't believe you belong there, they won't believe that you belong there. So it is super important to be focused, be present, just like your other executives are. Engage in the conversation. Be thoughtful about how you engage, right? Like one thing that I've seen that can be risky is people will just try to jump in, but they haven't really thought their thoughts through, right? And so they're stuttering or they're not clear or whatever. You've got to make sure you know how to contribute, but that all comes from being that trusted advisor, being data-driven, having the facts in front of you, and being prepared. Act as if you belong there and they will see it too.
Yeah. And we talked about it a little bit earlier, right? Do you, you know, the seat of the head of HR, right? The head of finance, the head of IT. Right. If you're one of those heads, head of the PMO, do you think that a head of HR is going to have a problem taking the seat at the table? Not in a million years. Think by minutes. Right. You've got to play along with them as well, because you got to think you're just as important, which you are. Right. You're driving the programs and projects of this org. So it's taking a seat at the table as well. Right. So being offered it, but also taking it. And there's a balance there to what you just said.
You know, it's funny you say that, because as you and I were talking about before we started recording, I'm in the proofreading stage of the Impact Engine book, which is going to be, is available for pre-order now and will be in bookstores in a few months. And one of the things that we kept going back and forth on is the last chapter. We have it titled Take Your Seat at the Table, right? There's a section in there and people are saying, well, you should earn it and whatever. And I'm like, no, by the time you've gotten to the end of the book, you have earned it. Take your seat, my friend, because you've earned it, right?
Yep.
And so I like it being a little bit more action-oriented.
Yeah.
Take your seat. You've done the work. You have your position there, and it's time to be rewarded for that and, you know, acting as if you belong because you do. So nicely put. Thank you, Bill. So let's keep building on that, because each one of these, being the trusted advisor, being data-driven, being proactive and visible and acting as if until you feel the confidence you have. I'd love if you could talk a little bit about your process for linking the PMO and projects to the overall organization strategic goals, because that's what comes next in this process, right?
Yeah,
what
that's
are you talking
so
about
important.
In those conversations?
Yeah. So tip four is really ensure strategic alignment where you can.
Yeah.
And I think you have to stress the where you can, right? Because the pet projects aren't going away.
Right.
Every executive is going to have their pet projects, and that's their, you know, that they're executives. They get to do that. But again, you can't run your PMO based on pet projects.
Right.
So you, when you think about governance, You think about the company's organizational strategy. What are their goals? Where do they want to go? What are the roadmaps? What you as a PMO leader want to do is you want to step back and see where are those projects and programs heading and where do they really align to that strategy?
Okay.
And so stepping back and saying through governance, as projects come in, is there that alignment? Do we have a checkpoint in our process to say, here's our strategy and here's our main goals and here are the things that are going to drive us there? Then roadmaps, for example, is a great way of doing that.
Yes.
Roadmaps are a great way of laying that out. And as a PMO leader, you can roadmap these big programs and projects, and then you can align them to the big buckets of your strategy.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to ensure as you think about a seat at the leadership table and you're sitting, you're talking about where the org's going, your programs and projects and the engine that's sitting behind you is part of that conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's funny because a lot of people say, well, I don't even know what to be saying or talking about at that leadership table. You should be talking about the strategic goals of the organization so your leaders can see that you get it, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So much time has been wasted by PMO people saying, they don't get me. I don't care. I don't care if they get you. That's not the point. You come up with a good business plan. You come up with what you've got, Bill, here with this presentation you walk around with. That's what they want to get. They want to see, what have you done for me lately and how are you helping me achieve our strategic goals? It's not about them getting the value of project management or the PMO.
Right.
It's about you showing the value that it's driving. And you can do that by understanding the strategic goals, how the products and programs and projects and across the portfolios are derived from those strategic goals and how the work you're doing, going back to the data-driven, is helping them achieve the strategic goals.
Yep.
Making the so what clear in your conversations. And that's what that strategic alignment is. But you're right. We won't always be able to get rid of those pet projects.
Right.
No. But we should be able to still ask the question.
Yep.
Okay, how is this aligned with the strategic goals so I can figure out how to support it in alignment with those priorities, right?
Yeah.
Like that's a good way to kind of help them think through the connection back.
Yeah. And, you know, and to be fair to the people that are kind of stuck in that program and project world and they don't know what to say or how to get there, that takes time.
It does.
Like some of us have been doing this for a long time, right? A lot of people's DNA is in that program and project space,
mm-hmm.
so they're most comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're saying is to be a PMO leader, to be a seat at the table, your business skills, your business acumen, your business thought processes start to need to take over.
Yes.
If you have the engine behind you of program and project management, get that. And that's good. You're rooted in that, but you've got to think broad. And this is what will get you to sit at the table. And thinking broad is about 3 to 5 years. It's about strategy. It's about where we're heading. It's not about, I just successfully cranked out this project.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's good. We get it. But you got to start making that shift or you're never going to get there. They're always going to think of you as a program and project person. And that's all your PMO does.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. That was so well said, Bill. Thank you. That is exactly the point in all of this. And I think that's something that you can still love program and project management.
Yeah.
You can go to PMI events and geek out with all of your peers that totally love that stuff, too.
Yeah.
And when you are in the executive conversations, you really need to be shifting your focus and how you think and talk about it. And that was really important because there's not a lot of information out there about how do PMO leaders become business leaders. That's what we talk about in this podcast, right? Because we talk about in terms of becoming an impact driver.
Yeah.
You know, from, you know, taking PMO leaders and turning them into impact drivers. That's the whole point, is that this is the business value you're trying to drive and how you should go about doing it. So good. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks.
So if they are, you know, understanding they need to be the trusted advisor and then they use the data to drive the decision making and they are being proactive and visible and taking that seat at the table. And when they're at that table, they have the strategic alignment and they're talking about all of the work that's happening in terms of the so what for the executives with that strategy. What's the last step in that process?
You have to be, you kind of, the way you led that up, there's only one possible last step. And that's to be a change agent.
Right.
Love it.
You've got to be thinking about organizational change management. I always say if I could reverse my career 30 years, I would have gone into OCM or I would have focused more on that. But it wasn't big 30 years ago.
Right.
Right. There wasn't ProSci, Cotter, Connor, all the various models out there. But change is hard. Change is difficult. And so that fifth point is to be a change agent. Mm-hmm. To recognize how to make these changes in small incremental steps, but to bring everyone along the way. And not everyone will come. You'll bring people dragging and kicking and screaming, right? And that's just the nature because change is hard. But as a PMO leader, having a seat at the table, you have to recognize change and how this is going to impact the organization. We do that at the program level. We do it at the project level. At the PMO leader, it's that much more difficult. You have to have a framework to follow. You have to have a structure to follow, whatever, which one you want. I'm a big ProSci guy. I love the ADKAR model and stuff. But there's other models out there. There's other things. And the whole concept is change is hard and you need to drive that change.
Yes, absolutely. And it doesn't have to be hard if you prepare yourself on how to bring people with you through the change process. Yep. That's why people figure it out when they go through our Impact Engine system or when they read the book, that there's a thread of organizational change management running throughout the entire process, because you have to do this change with people and through people instead of to people. And that's where so many people get stuck, is they're pushing instead of creating a pull. They're doing change to people instead of feeling like those people are in the driver's seat, the ones that are going to be a part of the change. Put them in the driver's seat. Help them. Bring your roadmap by their side, but you stay in the passenger seat guiding and supporting them, and let them be in charge of the change that they're creating in this world, which means you got to do all those other steps in order to be able to do that. So this is so good. I love it. I love it. I love it.
You talked about what's in it for me, right? That that you got to step back and look what's in it for them and really understand.
Yeah, exactly. So that's, I think, a key last building block to all of this, and puts a nice wrapper around these five steps. So the tips that Bill Dow is sharing with you are: World PMO Influencer of the Year, be a trusted advisor, be data-driven, be proactive and visible to the executive team, take your seat at the table, ensure strategic alignment in the work and the change you're driving, and use that data to support that. And then be a change agent. Bring people with you through that change process. This is so good, Bill. Thank you so much for doing this and taking the time to share with this audience. If people want to learn more, where would you like us to send them?
Sure. Just www.buildoutpmptraining.com.
Awesome. And you've got an ebook there that's going to be available for them to check out.
Yeah.
And we will have all of your other LinkedIn and YouTube and everything else on the show notes for this episode, which is pmostrategies.com/253. So that episode will be available, and all the resources on our website to point you in the right direction of connecting with Bill. Bill, thank you so much for being here today. Happy almost birthday and happy International PMO Day.
Thank you.
And I really appreciate your time today.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. It was fun.
Absolutely. We'll do it again soon. Okay. All right, Impact Driver, that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for being here. If you are loving what you are hearing, make sure you hit subscribe and download these podcasts to make sure they are with you no matter where your high impact journey takes you. Hey, Impact Driver, before you go, I want to remind you to join us for International PMO Day on May 14th. This is going to be a big one for us here at PMO Strategies, because we are celebrating something really, really big. And I want to give you an opportunity to celebrate with us. Okay, I'm going to let you in on a little bit of the details. You know that book I've been writing, The Impact Engine? Well, I'm going to be letting you in on a secret on how you can get a copy of the book before it's in bookstores in September. So make sure you join us at pmostrategies.com/PMO Day. That's pmostrategies.com/PMO Day. Celebrate with us, celebrate with your team, and I'll give you a little insight as to how you can get the Impact Engine book for yourself. I look forward to seeing you all at International PMO Day on May 14th. Happy birthday, Bill. Happy birthday, International PMO Day. And we will talk to you next week. Bye-bye for now.